Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 68 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. My name is Brian Sippets. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today on episode 68, we're talking to Dan Garner. Dan is the head strength coach of HockeyTraining.com. And you've probably seen his stuff out there. He does an awesome job with video production and creating products that are really going to help players get better and stronger. Of course, that is a remote platform, so lots of information for Dan online. But we're excited that he's joining us today. Dan is going to be presenting at the 2018 Training for Hockey Clinic in Colorado Springs, Colorado. That's at the NSCA on June 8th and 9th. I think we're right about in the middle of these episodes here, so I'm sure you've heard it a lot, but we just want to really direct you guys there and make sure that you know about that clinic and know that it is an outstanding opportunity to talk with hockey people, to get to know hockey people, and to hear a lot about hockey training. So if you're training hockey players, you should be there with us. Again, that's on June 8th and 9th out in Colorado Springs. Head to the NSCA's website and check that out. You can punch your ticket. You can also join via the live stream, so you don't have to be there in person, but I will say from somebody who goes to this every year, it is worthwhile to be there in person. I feel like the atmosphere there is great, and there's a lot of great ideas that come out of this clinic. So hope you can join us. Of course, the Hockey Strength Podcast is brought to you by HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. We are the world's greatest resource for training hockey players. We've got over 1,000 podcasts, webinars, programs, and articles all dedicated to training hockey players. We've got some of the best pros in the business, so check it out. If you've never been a member, you can join us for just $1 for the first 7 days. We know you're going to love the content, so after that, you can stay on for just $14.95 a month, or you can join for the year for just $149, and that's like getting 2 months for free. So head to the website, HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. Check it out. We'd love to have you as part of the community. Okay, let's go ahead and get started with HockeyTraining.com's Dan Garner. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks so much for joining us. Again, the next few episodes here, we're going to be going through the presenters for the 2018 Training for Ice Hockey Clinic at the NSCA in Colorado Springs. This is, you know, actually there are a lot of different professionals there. We're mainly talking about hockey, but we always end up in the audience with a lot of other strength and conditioning professionals, so it's a great collective of minds. There's some amazing speakers, and today we have another one of those speakers on with us. Today we're talking to Dan Garner. Dan is the head coach at HockeyTraining.com, and he's going to be presenting his presentation at the clinic is called Maximizing Hockey Performance Through Game Day Nutrition. So Dan, thanks so much for joining us from beautiful Calgary.
You're very welcome, my friend. Thank you very much for having me.
Not a problem. So Let's before we get into your topic, let's learn a little bit more about you. You know, like I said, I realize I have seen your stuff before. I really like the production and presentation of your materials. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and how you got into that position.
Well, first and foremost, I'm really glad that you've already seen the stuff and appreciate the production that goes behind it. Take a very strong respect towards creating a high quality product for anybody who tunes into our stuff. And if you have tuned in or if you never heard of me before, my name is Dan Garner. I'm a strength coach and nutrition specialist who specializes in hockey athletes. I have plenty of experience in this game. I've coached hundreds of hockey athletes in a one-on-one basis and thousands online, all the way from youth leagues, kids only 6 years old, up into the adolescents, into the juniors, the semi-pros, and right up into the NHL. So work with a lot of hockey athletes, but also at a lot of different levels as well. I'm a number one selling Amazon book author for my book, Hockey Speed, on there. I've lectured for the NSCA in the past, and hockey training in and of itself has just been a great opportunity area and window for me to gain just a lot of data on hockey athletes. When you have something that is so delicate, such as creating the optimal athlete, there is both a science and an art to everything that you're doing. And a lot of what comes behind the art is the experience that you can gain. So having the vehicle of hockey training, being able to work with so many different athletes and have them get their feedback to me has just been a great way to go to really maximize hockey performance and really just get a full grip on both the science and art of hockey programming.
Yeah, and you sort of touched on sort of the limitations there. You're fully online now, and
yes, sir.
all of your practices are online. You have a physical facility as a headquarters, but you know, you touched on it a little bit. I think the problem is, or I guess the biggest challenge of being online is that connection and that you know, using the art to get the results that you want. So, what have you found to be the most challenging, and how do you tackle that side of things?
Well, it's not like I started there. I started like anybody else in this industry. I started as a personal trainer in Gold's Gym, as a baseline personal trainer. And when you get new into the industry, you can gain respect kind of in a few different ways. If you have a phenomenal physique, you will have immediate respect. Or if you've had a phenomenal athletic background, you will get immediate respect. Or if you have a PhD, you will get immediate respect. I went into the industry having none of those things. So I truly did start from the ground up, and it was results that ultimately got me respect. So I had years in the trenches already working with hockey athletes before I built my reputation up to the point where I was able to move online. But at that point, my intuition was really off the charts. And as a coach, Brian, I'm sure you already know. You know how you just kind of know when your athlete's not doing what you want them to do, and with no really kind of data or feedback, you just kind of know what's going on?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You get a ton of that online. So working with straight up ebook programs, it comes down to the art of knowing those specific situations and creating roadblock barriers before they ever happen. So providing proper variations in exercises that are going to allow them to do the program in their own unique way in their facility, or providing as many food options as possible that's going to make the meal planning process adherable. So when it comes to science and art, there are principles of physiology that we have to follow, but the art of programming is just making sure that your athlete can follow it, because consistency beats any other quality that you can possibly bring to the table. And to this day, I still will go to other facilities who want to bring me out to their facility to work with, say, their NHL athletes for a specific offseason or for a specific phase. I will go there. But the 90% plus of my business now is just done 100% online. But it wouldn't be as effective as it is today if I didn't already build that art in the trenches to begin with.
Sure. So a lot of your experience is on the training side, so on the physical training side. But at the clinic in Colorado Springs, you're going to be presenting on maximizing hockey performance through game day nutrition. So obviously, nutrition is a big part of our performance. Talk a little bit about, you know, why present on nutrition, first of all, and then talk a little bit about, you know, why it matters.
Well, sure. I mean, you can't have a complete hockey athlete unless you cover both. People always like to do these percentage games, like training is, or nutrition's 80%, training's 20%, or training's 30%, nutrition's 70%, whatever it's going to be. And the heck with all of that. The training is 100% and nutrition is 100%, because they're completely different processes that happen within our physiology to promote our performance out in the ice. Like when we're in the gym, we don't actually build muscle in the gym. We don't build strength. We don't build power. We don't build endurance. We don't do any of that in the gym. What we do in the gym is we create the stimulus for strength, or the stimulus for muscle growth, or the stimulus for increased endurance. Now, whether or not you adapt to that stimulus depends exclusively on everything that you're doing outside of the gym with your sleep. I'm sure a lot of people listening to this can relate in that they themselves or somebody they know truly does train hard in the gym. They do. They put the effort into the gym and they have a well-designed training program, but the results just don't seem to be coming in the way in which that they expected. That's an adaptation problem. That's not a stimulus problem. And almost like 9.9 times out of 10, it's because the athlete is not focusing on their nutrition to support the stimulus to ultimately create the adaptation that's actually going to make them a better hockey player. So that's why I'm talking about nutrition at the NSCA conference, because I believe that it is a topic that's a little bit under-respected in hockey performance right now.
So it looks like from the title of things, it looks like you're going to be talking about game day nutrition, meaning, you know, nutrition on a day that you have a game. Obviously, we know it goes deeper than that. Are you going to be talking about both levels, game day nutrition and overall nutrition habits?
Yeah, absolutely. More in respect, though, to the pre, during, and post-workout windows. I run my athletes through a four-phase process. Phase one's 1 to 3 hours prior to the game. Phase two is 0 to 45 minutes prior to the game. Phase three is during the game. And phase four is post-game. And this can be applied, though, to your training as well. So although I'm positioning the presentation towards game day, it can also be extrapolated to what you're doing with your strength work, conditioning work, and speed work as well, because we're still using the same energy systems. We still have the same nutrient demands as we are in our training as we do in the game, because if you are truly training with the principle of specificity, what you're doing in the gym should replicate what you're doing in the game. So that nutrition aspect of it, I will be covering mostly game day and how to create the optimal performance, but there's going to be a greater window of opportunity to apply it in other areas of your life as well.
Perfect. And you sort of made light of, I guess, the idea that there are different times where different nutrients are accepted more optimally, I guess. So, correct. You know, it sounds a lot like a topic that might be a little bit of a hot button, and that is nutrient timing. So is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about nutrient timing, and is it, you know, is it that important?
Yes. I mean, I think it's absolutely important. I mean, this is 2018. The talent pool for hockey has never been greater. The proper planning of your meals, supplementation, and even single nutrients at certain points can aid hockey players in their performance, recovery, and even career longevity. Because when we are putting ourselves through intense physical activity, there are shifts in hormone, neurotransmitter, and micronutrient homeostasis that all occur during this process. And it's my job to regulate that, because when these things get a little bit off kilter, it can be the difference between a good performance and a great performance. So nutrient timing, it's relevant for all of those reasons, because nutrient timing boosts your performance. And when you boost your performance, you can really boost any result that you want. And what I mean by that is, if we can boost your performance in the gym, if your goal is fat loss, well, you're still going to perform better in the gym, ultimately create a better stimulus, and then ultimately burn more fat. Or if your goal is to build more muscle in the gym, and if I increase your performance, then we're going to be able to create a bigger stimulus for muscle growth in the gym, and ultimately a bigger adaptation for muscle growth. So nutrient timing is important, but it's kind of on a continuum. And I think that's where the confusion largely lies. So people say, well, nutrient timing is not that important. Like everything in biology, it doesn't operate in black and white. It operates on a continuum. So minimal importance of nutrient timing for hockey athletes would be, say, a novice trainee looking to improve body composition. If you're brand new in the gym, pretty much anything that you're going to do is going to be able to improve your body composition and improve your hockey performance over time. This is where nutrient timing would be a minimal importance. But maximum importance, if you are currently in a dieting state, so if you're trying to drop body fat and you're playing hockey at the same time, nutrient timing becomes incredibly important, because if you're dieting, you're being slightly underfed. So the timing of your nutrients is going to depend largely on how you're going to be able to use those nutrients in the game and perform like you're not dieting, if that makes sense. It also becomes incredibly important if you're trying to become the best hockey athlete that you can be. If you aren't training, if you aren't planning out your meals properly or getting in the correct numbers in, then you're not going to be able to reach your potential in the same way that someone does have the same attention to detail. And I think lastly, nutrient timing is blatantly important for those high frequency periods. So say playoffs, if you have four games in a week, your ability to recover and perform at the most optimal rate possible is going to be huge. And a lot of that's going to come down to nutrient timing when you're doing so much in such a short time frame. And even more so if you're in a tournament. If you've got multiple games in a day, you can't really wing it. I think a lot of us have probably felt winging it before when you've done a tournament and then on Monday you're absolutely trashed. A lot of that can be alleviated so that you play game one in the morning at 100% of your potential, but you play game two later on also at 100% of your potential because you took care and prepared and did the appropriate things that you need to do from a nutrient perspective to support the sport of hockey.
Cool. So, if you're in attendance or if you're watching online, first of all, is this just a lecture for you? I know some people are doing a hands-on as well.
No, this will just be a lecture-based thing. Yeah. So I'm just going to be going over exactly. So it's not going to be another one of those lectures where you just leave with information that's going to make you sound smart. I'm going over an incredible amount of information, but then also providing exact formulas that you can use with your athletes so that you have something actionable to use that Monday.
Yeah, sounds good. I was sort of hoping for a snack portion of the of the presentation, but no. So talk a little bit more about that. So you said that we'll get some definite take homes. Are we talking menus? Are we talking principles to follow? How do you have that laid out?
Both. So there's going to be example menus to follow, but more importantly, there's going to be example formulas to follow because you can't make all squares fit into a circle. If I give every hockey athlete who came to me the same amount of carbohydrates, proteins, fats, or electrolytes, whatever it's going to be, if I gave them all the same thing, it's not going to work for all of them. So a lot of this comes down to the intensity required and what they're doing and what their actual body size is. So I'm going to be providing meal menu options and examples because the choice of foods that you choose does matter in respect to nutrient timing and what's going to absorb the fastest in the body from a carbohydrate and protein perspective. But I'm going to be providing formulas as well so that, something that I think is so important is that we need to make both the training and nutrition fit our hockey athletes and not make our hockey athletes fit the training and nutrition. That's the real art of programming right there. So using formulas that are going to work for the athlete instead of making the athlete fit an arbitrary number, that's the real takeaway I'm going to be giving these people who attend the lecture.
Sounds good. And, as we wrap up here, I know there's going to be plenty of nuggets to go on. We've sort of skimmed the top here and just given a brief overview, but just to kind of get us a little bit more excited here, can you give us one bombshell point or one great nugget that you want to share, saving the rest of them obviously, but I want to make sure that listeners get a big bang out of this presentation. So share with us one thing that you think is sort of tops in terms of what you're going to be sharing.
Sure. And this is kind of funny because a lot of people would see this as basic, and yet it's one of the most under-respected aspects of nutritional preparation for hockey performance today. And that's the simple area of hydration. Hydration is not just water. Hydration is the combination of water and electrolytes. And when we look at the data and we look at what happens to our physiology in response to body water loss, what we've seen is that a 0.5% loss in body water increases cardiac output. So it puts additional stress on the heart, which increases heart rate, and heart rate increases have been associated with exercise-induced fatigue. So that's just at a 0.5% loss in body water, we're increasing stress on the heart. A 1% loss in body water decreases your aerobic endurance. So just at a 1% loss in body water, you are
decreasing your cardiovascular capability. At a 3% loss in body water, you are reducing your muscular endurance. So your ability to repeat muscular contraction, something that is applied against resistance, you know, like shooting, skating, keeping somebody off you when you're trying to stay strong on the puck. This is only at a 3% loss in body water. And at a 4% loss in body water, we see a reduced muscle strength. So an actual reduced one rep max force output, we see that completely reduced at a 4% loss in body water. We see reduced motor skills, which is a reduction in coordination. And we also see an increase in cramps at a 4% loss in body water as well, which are obviously detrimental towards performance. So when we're kind of compiling what I just said here, if we've lost 4% of our body water, we've increased stress on the heart, we've decreased our cardiovascular capability, we've reduced our muscular endurance, we've reduced our muscular strength, we've reduced our coordination, and we've increased our risks at getting a cramp during a game. So instead of just drinking water, I think it's really important that hockey athletes know how much water they should be drinking and what electrolytes are important in order to support performance. Because let me tell you something, it doesn't matter how genetically gifted you are at hockey or how amazing of a sleep you got last night. If you're dehydrated, that is its own separate performance decreaser. That's a standalone. Even if everything else is perfect, if your water wasn't on point, that will decrease your performance. So that's got to be in check as much as anything else in your hockey training arsenal.
Nice. So we'll look forward to hearing more about what exactly goes into those hydration strategies. I'm sure you'll share more of that. But we'll leave that to be seen. But Dan, I really appreciate your time and enjoyed our chat today. And I think this is going to be a great presentation and look forward to learning more from you. So, you know, we mentioned the hockeytraining.com. Is there anywhere else people can find you if they're looking for more Dan Garner information?
No, hockeytraining.com. And then on Facebook, very simple, Hockey Training. You'll find us real easy. And on Instagram, we are at Hockey Training Tips.
Okay. Who stole hockey training from you? I feel like you got the other ones locked up.
Yeah, I don't even know. It doesn't matter anyways. People know where to find us.
Perfect. Hockey training tips. Okay. Dan, thanks again, and I look forward to meeting you out in Colorado Springs. Have a great day.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
All right. All right, everybody, that's going to wrap up episode 68 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thank you to Dan Garner for joining us. We are definitely looking forward to his presentation out in Colorado Springs. We've got a couple more episodes coming up here. They're going to be released within the next several days here. We want to give you a chance to hear everybody before the clinic. So we will have a couple of episodes coming out in the next week or so. So keep an eye out for that. Until next time, guys, be sure to train smart and check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, the world's greatest resource for training hockey players. We'll talk to you soon.